This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What up, what up, what up? What's good, everybody? Hold on. I got to hit record on the mixer because I recorded on my end versus letting Twitter record it. But yeah, man, we'll let everybody take their time to load in. Got about an hour. I want to make this like an hour or less. I don't want to make this too long because I'm going to re-upload it as a podcast episode. And that way, if people missed it, they could just go to the platform and check everything out. Make sure everybody can hear me clear. If you want to join the discussion, just raise your hand or send a request. I'll let you speak your piece, but I just want to give an update. Look, man, I'm not Jerry and these other journalists. I don't got no breaking news. And if I did, y'all know me, I don't break news. I keep it close to the vest and I let the big dogs break it. And then I respond to what's been broken. But yeah, I don't break news. That's just not me. Cause I don't want to be wrong. So if you jump out there like you got breaking news and then you're wrong, then that's a tough pill to swallow. Then people are not going to take your word as your bond. You know, unless the person who gave me the news say, "Ball Hawk, I want you to break it." Then I'm going to be like, "Man, you better put this in writing that you're not going to renege. Because I'm going to be upset." Then I'm going to have to serve them some shut the hell up juice, respectfully. But I know everybody's been seeing what's been going on in the transfer portal. Everybody kind of panicking. Don't panic. Relax. It's okay. It's this the business of college sports. These young players got to do what they have to do to protect themselves. When you have a coach and he's leaving the helm, you got to go out there and see what the suitors are. See what the market's saying before you get your coach. That coach may not be your cup of tea. Back when I was in school, you had to just sit there. It didn't matter. If a coach retired, coach got fired, a coach left, that transfer wasn't like that. So when people say, "Yo, back in my day," it's like they say with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan would never create a super team. Well, you know what? Mike ain't have the power like these young guys got. Like, free agency didn't pop off until Mike had his team established. You know, salute to the Chicago Bulls in that front office. But you see what I'm saying? A lot of times you got to put things in context. And how we grew up, we felt like we so much tougher. I'm saying, like, yo, these kids are more business savvy. Like, we were just barbarians. You say run through the wall, we try to run through the wall. We ain't say, wait a minute. Calculations say if I hit my head right here, I'm going to be concussed. And, you know, too many concussions, I might not have all my faculties growing up. So I want to make sure, because football is not a long part of my life. But when I was growing up, that's all it was. They use your sport against you. They got what they got out of you. But don't feel bad with these young men going in the transfer portal, man. You should encourage them to make sure that they protecting their peace. You know, I'm not saying, hey, all UVA players going to transfer a portal. But if you one of those guys that were starters or friends guys that, and you got film and you feel like you don't know what's going to happen next, put your name in a portal. You could take it back out or, well, whoa, wait a minute. You could withdraw. Why y'all ain't tell me that didn't sound right at the beginning? Whoa, wait a minute. That sounded awful. A lot of y'all are like, "Why are you laughing?" You get it. You'll catch the ball later. All I know, one thing, I done talked enough, okay? That's my introduction. Y'all can start jumping in and give me your thoughts on all this, okay? If I wanted to just talk, I would just did a podcast episode. I came to spaces to converse and to moderate. Y'all just sitting there lurking. Y'all still at work? Hmm? Y'all in a loud place? Y'all can't say nothing back? Hmm? There we go, Luke. Let me make sure it's going through the mixer, too. All things UVA. Let me get you in here. Yeah, we good. It's going through. All right. Whenever y'all ready, you're going to unmute yourself. Be respectful. Hey, Mod. What's going on?
Afternoon. Question for you. So I'm seeing a lot of reports now that the signing of Dex as our next head coach is imminent. Are you hearing anything to this extent?
Yeah, I'm just reading. I'm reading the same tweets you guys are, the same write-ups. I'm excited. If they went out there to Vegas to meet with him face-to-face, then to me that's encouraging, very encouraging, because I don't think anybody's going on the jet to meet a potential coach, like one of your candidates. You go to them. I think if you go to somebody, then you pretty much got in your brain that you want to close the deal. That's just what I feel. Not saying that's 100% sure, but that's my assumption.
Yeah, I agree. So it was looking like over the weekend it was down to Elliott and Dex. And if the deal didn't get done with Elliott over the weekend, then I don't think he's a serious candidate anymore. It looks like he's going to go to Duke. But whatever they do, I don't want them to do it fast or rush mm-hmm. or anything like that. However, now in the transfer portal, we got Big O's there, Noah Taylor. So we are starting to lose some people, and that was a problem already at Virginia. So somebody's going to need to come in quickly and try to reverse some of these kids that want to transfer. And obviously National Signing Day is right around the corner, and we're probably going to take some lumps there. So I'm hoping that they get the deal done today, which it sounds like they might. I was just wondering if anyone had any concrete information. But I think for a lot of reasons, it needs to get done today.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And honestly, I think a lot of those guys that are in the portal, if Dex is hired, they come back. I think they're just protecting themselves. And I think they might have been just encouraged. Like you say, you test the waters. Because from what I've been told, those guys are still engaging in all the activities leading up to, for the bowl. So it's not like they hit the transfer portal and not reporting to the facility, from what I've been told. So that's encouraging. All right, who we got next? You can unmute yourself whenever you're ready. Anyone? Bueller?
Yeah, it's Ron Huff here.
What's up, Ron?
That's one of the important things people need to realize is that you're right, the transfer portal was there for them to execute what they could see, what's out there. But if you look at the landscape, when head coaches are hired and when they leave, there's a flux of transfers that actually come in with the coach that coach has recruited in the past that are not getting the playing time at other schools that coaches have still got contact with throughout this college system that we have.
Yeah.
No matter what coach we bring in, I can't say for sure, but I perceive there's going to be some transfers coming in to help this coach make what his vision is of the football team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's encouraging. It is. With the transfers we have that's talking about leaving, like you said, it's not a done deal until they completely done the paperwork. I see some of ours maybe coming back if Dex is actually hired. We'll see. But like I said, the transfer portal is such an influx system now where players are just following coaches wherever they want to go.
Yeah.
And, with Dex if Dex is hired, then I'm sure he has several contacts that, he's recruited over the last couple of years that are wanting to come play for him because they're not getting what they were promised where they're at now. So the transfer portal is not, the end all do all of the program.
Nah, I agree with you. Great point. And whether it's Dex, whether it's Elliott or any other coach that's not being named as a top candidate, like you said, whoever takes the job is going to have former players from the school that he coached that probably want to follow him, depending on what what he was, offense, defensive coordinator, safety coach, whatever. And then the recruits that he built relationships with may want to flip and also follow them to UVA. So that's an excellent point that we have to look at it from both sides. So I agree with that.
So as far as coaching carousel is looking, and there's reports out there, and I'm sure you can't confirm or deny it or whatever, but are the UVA boosters really ready to commit to facility change if Dex is hired?
Yeah, I don't know. That's above my pay grade. I can't speak for that money. I can make an assumption, though. I would assume that if you got somebody like Anthony Poindexter becoming the head of this program, that people will be generous because of what he did and what he stands for. I can see that. But, again, that's probably just my heart speaking.
And I understand that, but I guess my question would be, where were these donors last year and the year before last? Making the Orange Bowl is a big deal. That should have been a kickstart to boosters, not something to keep them from.
Yeah, but I think COVID killed that. COVID killed that. You know, once you couldn't have any fans in the stands, that kind of set you back. If we have an open world following 2019, 2020, it would have been at least 50 in that stadium for games because of the momentum, like you said, coming off the Orange Bowl. But you came off of a 500 season. A lot of people didn't have a lot of high expectations. And then once they saw the offense going this run after, you know, starting out 2-2, because you got to think, after we started 2-2, after the Wake Forest game, nobody thought this team would do anything. And then when you had the missed field goal by Miami, had another missed field goal by Louisville, you blank out Duke, and then you beat Georgia Tech, and they see what the numbers that the offense is putting up, that belief came back. So that's why I said, I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful, but that's sports. We live in a moment. And that I think that's why everybody's getting excited about the donors, because it's that feel right now. And that personal relationship they feel like they got with Dex versus having with Bronco. And it's not a knock against Bronco because he's a great man. But I just think he was just hurt by the COVID year. And then they had a loss. And then we were 500 this year. I don't think we had a game with 50,000 fans. So, yeah, I mean, you gotta add that spark.
Well, speaking of this year, and I don't get me wrong, I'm disappointed with the way we finished up, because I want us to win every game.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. But people need to remember, we were picked last in the ACC at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
We were picked to win two or three games, not to be competing for the ACC Coastal Division two weeks left to go. We exceeded all expectations by all the pundits out there. So I don't see this season as a failure. I just see it as, we could have done better, but we did better than what we expected to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely did better what we were predicted to do better. We did better than what fans thought we would be at when we were 2-2. I mean, nobody saw us winning any games, really. They probably saw, you know, maybe Georgia Tech and Duke as toss-ups. But the Miami-Louisville, I don't think nobody really had us being the favorite, even though – you know, Miami is Miami, but no, you're right. And that speaks to sports again. We live in the moment, because at the moment after Wake Forest, you had two teams that just ran all over us and did anything they want to our defense. So it was like, we'll never win another game. And then boom, we went four straight. Now, granted, missed field goals, people could frame it any way they want to, but that's sports. Yeah, that's sports. Anybody that's played sports don't live by their creed if this didn't happen. Because I can say, well, if this didn't happen, we'd be undefeated too. But people don't like to play that type of hypotheticals because they want to stand in their realm of, this is what happened in the Matrix. And I'm like, no, I didn't take that pill. I took this pill.
But, you know, our fan base is, you know, a little bit up in the air right now. Just imagine being a Miami fan base, having two head coaches at one time today. That had to be plum sadistic.
Yeah, Miami is chaos down there. They need to stop living in the 90s, the 2000s, and realize this is a new you.
Diaz is out on a recruiting visit in players' homes when it was announced that he's no longer the head coach and they bring somebody else in. Could you imagine the feeling he had in his gut?
That's crazy. That's business, as they say. it's nasty, but hey, that's business. Give him his money. How many years he had left on his contract? I don't even know. See, I don't even pay attention to
it. He had 3 years left.
Ooh. 3 years? Oh, yeah, he not mad. I mean, he mad, but he not mad. I need every dime. I ain't working with you. I need all that, 4 and 5. Yeah.
Well, I quit talking now. Thanks, Ahmad.
Nah, I appreciate you, Ron. Thanks a lot, man. Any other speakers want to unmute and share their thoughts on what's going on with transfers, head coaching, or anything, man? I like to just moderate.
What's up, Ahmad? How you doing today?
What's up, Will? How you doing, bro?
No, go ahead, Will.
Oh, that's
go
Luke. Ahead. Oh, all whoever. Right. Appreciate whoever. That. My bad.
Hey, Ahmad, I'm curious your assessment of Bronco's tenure, sort of what he inherited, what he did, and what he's going to hand off to, whether it's Dex or somebody else. But how do you make sense of it? And if you're going to give him a grade, is there a grade in there somewhere?
Ooh, I like this. I like this. So when Bronco got here, he thought it was I can turn this around until, you know, he got in the house and he realized it's a lot of repairs. We got to pull this carpet up. It's a lot of leaks over here, a lot of duct tape over there, and we were 2-10. So it was a lot of talent. Don't get me wrong, a lot of talent in the building, but talent only gets you so far when your mindset not right and when you so accustomed to things just going wrong. And we saw after his 2-10 season, a lot of guys transferred, and that's fine. Not saying those guys are weak and they couldn't make it. So he encouraged guys to do what's best for them. So when somebody transfers, he never looked at it as a negative. He did everything he could to make sure each player would be successful at their new home. That's what I always respected about him. It wasn't no ill will in that standpoint. But he started to build a culture. People hated the draft. The jersey draft, and they made fun of guys having to perfect warm ups, but it's a mentality thing when it comes to that. That you just got to understand how bad we were mentally is why you did those little tedious, like perfecting those tedious things, because it carries over in the big picture. Like when you get to close games and you start pulling out those games and battling back. And winning in different type of fashions, it comes from those little tedious, dumb things like a jersey draft or perfecting warm-ups or starting practice all over because we're not doing this drill right. Like, people don't understand it, but that's how you win those tough, grueling games, because you just so callous that you're ready. But, you know, went from 2-10, then we went 6-6, then went to a bowl, ended up 6-7. Because we didn't know what to expect from bowl week. We got our high pots beat because we were just happy to be at the bowl. But, hey, that's a building block, right? That's a step. You get smacked in the bowl. Then you come back the next season. You go to the transfer portal again. You get Bryce Perkins. Nobody knows about Bryce Perkins. Everybody's questioning Bryce Perkins. And then Bryce Perkins ends up being a legit player. Jordan Ellis runs for 1,000 yards in this offense. We're 8-5. Debo Samuels doesn't play for South Carolina. They still saying they're the big bad SEC. We pretty much take them to the woodshed. We win that bowl game. And everybody's loving it. And then the ACC just said, well, it's probably Virginia time to win the Coastal. So we'll pick them, but we don't believe it. And start out winning at Pitt on the road, ACC game. It's not usually done. They did that. Hard fought game versus Pitt. They have a snoozer versus ODU, but they still win that game. They have an epic, you know, finish versus Florida State, who ends up being trash can juice, but it's still Florida State. And then we have the injury to Bryce Hall. So we have a storm and everybody's questioning, why is your star player on special teams? It's like, dude, did you not see Alabama playing their star players on special teams? But I get it. That's Nick Saban. He get a pass, right? But that's what you do. You put your best players out there on special teams because you saw. Well, I ain't going to harp on this year. But anyway, then we battled through. We beat UNC. Then we beat the Big Bad Wolf at the end of the year. And we get to the Orange Bowl. Valiant effort. Lose to Florida. But, I mean, you lose to Clemson first. And then you lose to Florida everything's rolling and then COVID hits. And that's like takes the momentum out. And, you know, Brennan, first year as a starter is, you know, with empty stadiums majority of the time when you're playing at home. But we still only lost one home game that year. And we had that snoozer versus Virginia Tech. And then this year, it wasn't a lot of expectation, to be honest. Folks could lie now if they want to, but nobody had nobody thought this team would win more than 5 or 6 games. They didn't. So nobody knew Brendan was going to be this special, and he was. But they'll lie to you and say they always believed it. They lied. They a bold-faced lie. It's a minority of folks who thought Brendan could be special, like Bryce Perkins and guys that's in the locker room and a couple fans that's just fans of Brendan. But nobody thought he'd be this special. Nobody saw this offense being this special because LaVell Davis got hurt. And I told folks, yo, Wick's going to be the truth. I don't know, Ball Hawk. I don't know. What makes you say that? I don't know. Now they got to back up. Stop questioning folks when just take their word as they bond sometimes. Sometimes you get, it feel good to be right every once in a while, you know. But overall, I'm getting long-winded. My grade for Bronco's tenure here, with all things considered, I would give him like a B-minus. Just because he had to get it out the mud. Like, it was trashy overall here, bro. Trashy. Like, the mentality stunk. The culture stunk. Not the players. Just overall, when it comes to that war and battling, it wasn't in a favorable place to be successful. Like, yes, you want talent, but it takes more than talent to truly be successful, man. It does. It takes more than just the right scheme to be successful. So many moving parts got to work in football that it's hard to explain. Like, football, you can't compare to any other sport. You just can't. It's unique. It's why people call it the ultimate team sport. Every single moving part has to work in unison, or they'll find that one part that's out of sync, and that's the object. Every play, where's the mark? Where's the buster? Who's out of place? Oh, right there. Go. Expose it. Up, expose it. Damn. They hit it. They hit that well. But I give him a B-minus, man. All right, man, that's enough of me rambling. Somebody else start talking. I told y'all, man, this ain't my podcast. I don't want to talk the whole time.
Yo, what's up, Ahmad? How you doing?
What's up, B?
Yeah, not a whole lot. Hey, so I got a couple of baseball here. Sure. So I just wanted to say a quick piece and how to get out of this way. But it seems like Texas is going to be the next guy. I was going to say, I think, Carl Gart is going to get it right. I'm excited about, I think it's a little bit high risk, but I think there's a lot of potential with this hire. And especially with Jerry's article coming out last night about the potential of good support staff possibly wanting to come work under him.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of donors actually forking out the money for new facilities and all the things that it'll take to put together a successful program, I think we're in a really good spot.
Say that again. The wind started blowing behind you.
Yeah, sorry, the wind's really bad. I was saying, I think we're in a really good spot with this next hire. I think with the donors supposedly coming through with blank checks and to get what we need as far as facilities goes and everything. I think he's going to get the staff that he wants that's going to support him in this role. And I think we could see a trend upwards in my opinion.
Yeah, God dang it, my dog. I agree with you, man. It's like, that's the thing. You know, it's a lot of excitement. When anybody hires a new coach, they want to make a splash. They want to get the fan base excited. They want to get the season ticket holders excited so they can hold their spot, renew, or you get new season ticket holders. You want donors to get excited and then start, supporting the program. And so you can upgrade facilities and get recruits and head coaches excited. The one great thing that people really don't understand about Dex, not only how good of a player he was, but he's just a great human being, and the channels of the open channels that would just come back in areas that we haven't been hitting up. Like the hotbeds has been dead, they alive as soon as if he's announced as the head coach. Because the relationships he had with them. And I'm pretty sure he was still hitting those places up while he was at Penn State, while he was at Purdue. Like the dude, man, just If anybody's met Anthony Poindexter, he's just as real as they get. Just a genuine dude, fiery guy. You want to? I know he wants to make sure he surrounds himself with the coaches that can put his vision into motion. The main thing you don't want to do when you're a young coach, and I've never coached at that level, but yeah, folks are like, you know, you can hire him as a head coach and get this guy as associate head coach, but the associate head coach got to make sure he understands what his vision is and follows through. Not if I was a head coach or when I was head coach and I did, like, you don't need that. You don't need no dude with associate head coach that's just going to be lazy and just be undermining you. No, you want them to make sure they got the best, like, they know what you want and they formulate and they cultivate and pass it down to the system so everybody can make sure they put in your vision into motion. That's why I saw with Coach Welch and when I was here that no matter who the assistants were or the offensive coordinators were, they had their scheme, but he had his philosophy and how he wanted to approach the game. And then they adjusted to that. And that's the thing, man. And if he is the head coach here, if Poindexter's named the head coach, it's going to be a lot of old players coming out the woodworks wanting jobs. It's going to be tough for him. You my boy, but I can't hire you, bro. I got to go here, man. You ain't, hey, look, you could come advise. You could come speak to the team. I can't hire all y'all. Still got to win. And that's a tough spot, too. So that's my thoughts. Hey, BJ, did you want to say something? I saw you unmuted the last time.
Yeah, I got you. My mic kept cutting off.
Okay.
So I got a comment and a question for you. I think it's important to realize with these donors that they don't have this money to dole out because they're not smart. And mm-hmm. I think that there's got to be something that they sense with Bronco. He mentioned in his press conference on his exit that he's, you know, in his 30th year, 31st year coaching. That means that we got him in his 26th, 27th year coaching.
Mm-hmm.
They could probably sense something that wasn't their longevity. And if someone's not going to be there, no matter how great they're leading the program forward, it's a bad business move to throw money at something that doesn't have the same plan in the long distant future, right?
Okay.
So I think that had a lot to do with it too. COVID definitely, of course, stalled out a lot of the donating, but I think there had to be some tip off there to some of these donors. But I wanted to get your opinion as someone who's been in the program when it's been successful, maybe some might even say a little bit at its peak and where we're at now. I think a lot of fans have issues garnering realistic expectations for what this program can be with how high of an academic institution we are. And I know that that's not a comfortable conversation, but it is something we have to talk about because it does limit us a little bit. So what is your take on what we are capable of and what would be a realistic expectation for us to say, look, if we could do X, Y, Z year in, year out, Virginia football is running like a finely tuned machine and we're at our peak.
Let's see. I see Elliot raise his hand. Elliot, did you want to answer this?
Well, I just heard about the academic level thing my entire life growing up here in Charlottesville forever. People were like, oh, we got higher standards and therefore we will never be able to do this or that. But I mean, I just find that to be an excuse. Notre Dame has high standards. Stanford has high standards. Duke has high standards. You know, like we made it to an Orange Bowl with the same standards. You look at some of the top recruits coming out of Virginia each year that are now going to other schools like UNC. Their top three guys are all very great in the classroom. I just think that it's a new age in sports where it's good to be good in the classroom too. You want to have your bag, right? You want to have your management, you want to have your crew, you want to have your brand built, you want to be able to control your money long term. I think these guys are got a good head on their shoulders. I just think it's wrong to think that we have to settle for the school part. That's just my view on that.
And I agree with that. I don't think that we're not up against some of the standards of the schools that you mentioned, but we have lost recruits that could not get in academically.
Mm.
And there have been plenty of articles and plenty of documentation of UVA having higher standards for their student athletes than that the NCAA requires. You know what I mean? So,
and I don't disagree with that either. I do think that we do have higher standards. It's just a matter of us making that fit. I had a question real quick, Hawk or anybody real quick, is do you think, let's assume it's Dex, right? Do you see, and the UVA hasn't historically done this, and I'm not saying he would, But do you see us making plays for any current commits to other schools, right, trying to flip people if we get a new splash year? You know, meaning are there guys, and maybe some of the recruiting coverage folks on the thread can answer it, but are there guys that are in the Commonwealth that maybe didn't like maybe Mendenhall's style that might be a little bit more turned on with a local, Virginia guy at the helm? I don't know.
It's always a possibility. Like, flipping took place when I was coming out. Like, Antoine Womack was committed to Penn State. We flipped him. He came to UVA. I remember talking to him. Like, we flipped him. I mean, it happens. Like, that's the part of the beast. Until that ink is on that piece of paper, you ain't safe. And that's every school. Now, when it comes to UVA, the academic standards, that is like a narrative that's surrounding our school. That doesn't make us better than like a UNC or Virginia Tech and things like that. But those narratives can deter a young athlete at the end of the day. It can. Like, folks are so naive where they think, oh, these players don't be listening. They don't see what I write or see what it is. Like, it's more than one of y'all. It'll end up like thousands of folks who say the same thing that can get to a recruit. And when it comes to recruiting, man, you want to be seamless and you want to be at ease and at peace. And if it's something that can kind of ruffle your feathers or kind of heighten your senses in a sense, then you're going to kind of, when it comes down to the pros and the cons, that could be something that could be a red flag. But hey, man, at the end of the day, man, you're going to get the type of players that fit your program. The player's going to do what's best for them. I'm never going to knock a kid and say, oh, you didn't want to step to the plate because of academics. No, you go where you want to go. Like, at that, it's a blessing, man, to get recruited and to earn a scholarship. These athletes don't feel like they're entitled. They're very thankful. And if they make the wrong decision, now they have the transfer portal where they can go somewhere where they feel like is a better suit for them, because you do have coaches who sell dreams and things just don't work out. And then they have to go somewhere else. Not saying we do that at other places, but that's how the chips fall. But yeah, my main thing is I never try to make it seem like it's so hard. Is it difficult to get in the UVA? Yes. Is it possible to get in the UVA anyway? Yes. You can still work your tail off. Like, if you want to go to UVA and you like the coaches, you're going to bust your hind pots and get in those books and get the appropriate scores and GPA, and you're going to get there. That's just what it is. And football's not only, like, our basketball team, as great as they are, you got some lazy athletes out there, right? But it also some top flight athletes that are very smart. You feel me? So I'm not just going to cast aspersion on 5-star guys. Like, they just concentrate on football because, you know, that's just not what it is. But again, man, I don't want to keep rambling. Whoever next, that's a great question, though. Elliot and BJ.
What about the expectations? I don't think we ever touched on that.
The expectations are, expectations for the football. Shut up, OG. So as somebody who played in this program, like I told folks, when they was all pissed off with the 6 wins this year, I told them, you could go back as far as you want to, you're going to find a couple 6 wins after a 9 win. That's just, I mean, as much as folks say we got to get back to the glory days, I'm like, hello, I was a part of glory days. We won 9, and then we had 7, and then we had 6. Like, it happens. And then y'all got my coach up out of here. But I ain't gonna harp on that. But, and then you get Al Greasy in here. Then Al have 9 or 10. And then Mike had 8. Then Bronco had 8, then 9, then 5, then 6. And everybody, we got to get back to the old days. Now, granted, George took him to number 1. We won the Peach Bowl. We had like 9, then 9, but we had a 7 and a 6, then a 9 again. But you see what I'm getting at? Like, 9 and 10 is usually our ceiling. Now, we want to break that, but you can't, like, people ain't going to hear this. You want to compare us to the team down the street. Respect to them. But they get 10, 11. They go to the national championships. They get 10, like, they've been flirting with 10, 11 more than we have. So they, as much as we hate them talking trash, as a G, I'm going to sit back like, oh, you got it. Because you have hit that. Your ceiling's a little higher. You can expect more, because I see why you holding your coach at a higher stand. Because when you inherited it, it wasn't like when we our coach inherited his. Like, truth be told, it was two different inherits. You know what I'm saying? Somebody had a little bit more money, a little bit more residuals, a lot more companies than the one over here. And that's why it's like, well, who did better? Well, look at it. Look how y'all look at this one. But, yeah, man, expectations here. We want to get to that point to where we went 8-9 consistently. And then once you get to that, you want to get to 10. And you know what I'm saying? You got to keep moving it up, but you got to gradually, bro, because you want to ascend. You don't want to just go peaks and valleys, but you got to be real with yourself, man. You have to. Oh, I got the OG in the building. Coach Glove in the building.
I want to piggyback off of what Elliot said, though.
Go ahead.
In terms of if Anthony came, if that is the choice, you know, in terms of him going to contact commissioners at other schools, of course. Absolutely. You call both of them boys that's from around your way that's there to commit to Clemson without their defensive coordinator. You absolutely. They know your name. They know who you are. That is the first thing you do. That as soon as everything's okay, the ink dry, and you look at your phone and your statement and that jam hit, as soon as everything's cool on the money scale, as soon as y'all handle all of that, that's my first phone call. So absolutely, and I know he done been in the position way longer than me, and I know his coaches in here that can verify that for me too. So yeah, absolutely, Elliot. That would be one of the first things that I expect him to do. Especially because you want your mold type player. You're going to call all your people that you got at Penn State. That's just how the game is. Just like he, Ball Hawk, said with the commits. You know, sometimes kids go to a school for a coach. Sometimes they commit to the school for the school. But you know who those players are. And he going to play them cards absolutely right. Again, if that is the selection. That's all right. I have for that.
And let me just put something out there. I'm not going to say who or what, but it was shared with me that the players that you see in the portal was told to exercise that right.
And I understand that too, as well as they should. And just like I understand him saying, I respect the hell out of him being like, you can get in the portal and we all still going to play the game. Shit, they had to earn all them clothes into some of them two-a-days. Absolutely. Yeah, you deserve the right to fight this last game regardless of that play call. You deserve to fight for each other more than anything one more time. So I get that. And then at the same time, this may not be the place for you. It may be so. But you have the chance to test that. Now, I can't knock nobody. If my job ain't paying me right and things ain't going right, I have the ability to go and apply somewhere else and do whatever I want to do.
Facts.
So it shouldn't be no problem. It ain't no hard.
Nah. Hey, Coach, I see Coach Glove got his hand up. Go ahead, Elliot.
I was going to say, if we do lose a Remington finalist, that's a big loss for Brennan one way or the other. I mean, that would be big O as a center right there standing in front of you, you know, having that return, a center quarterback dynamic is one of the things that don't get talked about enough in sports. And I hope that'd be the first phone call I'd be making if I'm back.
Yeah. Coach Glove, you're going to mute yourself, bro. What's up with you, man? Appreciate you joining.
What's going on, fam? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Got the OG in the building. Respect.
No, man. I appreciate what you're doing, man. Shout out to all the people that's on here listening. But, yo, I got a question. So what do you think UVA needs to do in order to recapture the state? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, every time there's a coaching change, you get these coaches that come in and they shoot shot in the press and say, oh, we're going to focus on the state. We're going to focus on the state. And then they throw out a couple of offers. You feel what I'm saying?
Yep.
To the top guys. And then they move on to elsewhere where they came from. There's no real commitment. Real commitment to recruiting the state. You understand what I'm saying? And I see it. You know what I'm saying? I just watch your boy Pride, you know what I'm saying, do his little speech. And I don't know what's going to happen, but what do you think UVA needs to do? Because this, I mean, we only got two Power Five schools in state.
Yeah.
And we can't keep letting these guys come in here from out of state and bully our players out the state. Feel what I'm saying? If you say, oh, we recruit. But no, y'all don't recruit. I ain't saying y'all.
No, I know what you're saying.
But general, our Power Fives are absent. They don't recruit the state like they're supposed to. So guys like Penn State come in here bully. North Carolina come in here bully. Tennessee come in here bully. Ohio State snatching the best player one of the best players out of the state. Mm-hmm. Guys going to Florida. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All over the place. So what do you think UVA need to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, you gotta bring back the guys who understand how big of a hotbed that is, understand the schools to hit, and guys who are willing to rebuild and repair those relationships with the high school coaches in the 75 Sarah and the 804, those areas, because I think that's the biggest thing, that a lot of those relationships were fractured, and everybody had a better idea that they could go up north, or they could go down to Florida, or they could go to the West, but you always got to protect home first. And if you hire a guy like Dex and he could get like a Chip West or a Beatty, we still got Biscay here. Chris Peace was just in the 757 today representing us.
Just gear to say.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, you get a guy like a Quinn Blandon and go back to this career where everybody knows his name. You feel me? Like you gotta utilize those resources. If you want myself as alumni to go down, like you can't limit yourself to who can reach out and give real jewels to these, not only coaches and these athletes, but also to the families, because no matter what, you got to be totally honest, and you got to make sure these kids understand and how that dynamic can work for you by staying in state, what that does for your family, what that does for the folks who cheered you on and supported you in high school, that is not too far of a drive, and just overall you being from that state and you putting on for your state. Now, don't get me wrong, man. Some kids just want to get away, and I respect that. And, you know, like just like your son went to UNC, but you still speaking on protecting the state. That's what I respect, because you could just be like, whatever. But you still came in here and said, yo, we got to protect our state because my son got away. Now, granted, they got somebody that's a secret weapon. That's my guy, Usher, Dre Bly. He from the crib. You know what I'm saying? So he know how to talk to people from the crib. Our crib is different. Richmond is different. If you're not from here, that connection don't seem as, like, you can be genuine, but we are very guarded folks where we from. We look at you like, are you really living what you saying? Are you really going to do what you say? Or you just hustling me?
Got to look at you twice. Got to look at you twice.
Yeah, so.
Got to look at you twice when you coming in, when you leave. Yep.
Tony never had to leave. I'm saying both in-state programs had a solid shot at him. You know what I'm saying? A real shot, not no shoe shine. Yo, we just kind of just going up there for the look. Like, I've been to Tech 7 times. I've been to UVA like 6 times. You know what I'm saying? And they had a real shot. But you got to recruit to close the deal. You just can't expect somebody just to sign because it's the in-state power. We want to sign, but listen, you know what I'm saying? What are you doing? What are you going to do for my son? How are you going to prepare him, develop him? You know what I'm saying? It ain't just about winning. Talk to me about this degree. You know what I'm saying? What it means. Talk to me about the weight that this degree holds. You know what I'm saying? And the doors that it can open up. What plan do you have to develop my son as a man? You know what I'm saying? It's other things outside of the facilities. And, yo, this look good. That look good. You know what I'm saying? We going to play for championships. Who cares? You know what I'm saying? We trying to get to the league and create generational wealth and be in a program that can help get us there. You understand what I'm saying? You're a Power 5 program. You can help us get there.
Mm. Damn, that's from a parent of a top flight recruit. Tough. Like, I ain't gotta say nothing else.
Yeah, that was tough right there. That's everything I've been saying though.
Hey, respectfully, if you are a speaker and you're on mute, you can unmute yourself. Just look for the opening to add what you want to the conversation. Again, man, I love that you guys up here. And you know how I am. I end up going a little bit over. I read them.
Hey, prime example that was just being told. Sorry to interrupt there.
You good?
Is Zach Rice? No. Look what Zach Rice said while he was Carolina. He thought that Carolina could make him get to the NFL, be a freshman All-American, which I don't think Carolina can do. But you know what? Mac is a hell of a closer, right? He's got, you know, it was really tough. Dad went to UVA, decided to go to Carolina, right? So he thought Carolina could get him to where he needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's one kid. But there's, what, top 8, 7 are going out of state. There's only one that's going to Tech. You know, 4 of those 8 are going to Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what Mac's saying, but I tell you, he's got it down. He's got this feel. He knows what to tell you. You know?
Yep.
No. Not only that, when I think of UVA and what does a coach need to do to be successful, think of what Welch did. Right? He inherited a terrible team. He went to a ball game every year, so at least he won 6 games,
mm-hmm.
if not more. He
had Danny Wilmer.
Yep. You know, right? I mean, you got to recruit the state, obviously, but you got to you got to go to a bowl game every year. You got to beat Tech 50% of the time, and every fourth or fifth year, you're challenging yourself for an ACC championship.
Agreed.
And everybody's happy.
Agreed.
Right? Welch was 7-5, 8-4. His better years when he was in the ACC hunt, 9-win season.
Yep. I like right? it. Yeah.
And Dex, I would love to see Dex come back as the head coach. I think it would bring a lot of excitement. But at the same time, like somebody said before, there's going to be a lot of people saying, hey, I want a job, which is going to make him hard for him to say no.
Mm.
Because he is so eclectic. And he is a man's man. Man, you get with him and all your energy and enthusiasm and the love. It's all right there in front of you.
Yep. And
so it's going to be hard for him to say, you know what? I don't think so. And we had some great alums out there, but they probably never coached. So I'd love to see Dex. That's all I can say. But whether it happens or not, I don't really know.
Yeah,
I agree. Okay,
we'll see.
I agree. I tweeted it out when the first job first opened up. You know what I'm saying? And me and him just sat down and ate last week. I hope they would put him in there. You know what I'm saying? Because he understands the meaning of winning the recruiting battle in state. If you want to win, you got to win the recruiting battle in state. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can't sugarcoat it. You got to get the best players out of this state, simple and plain.
Hey, Bob. Hey.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Ahmad. Something while we're talking about coaches and something that I thought of is we don't need to name names, but what do you think would be the ideal makeup of the staff if it is Dex that is selected as our coach or whether it's somebody else? Hopefully it's Dex. But what do you think would be the ideal staff makeup or traits and experience and other things? Can you guys identify what you think the best staff makeup would be? And I'll mute the mic and listen.
Oh,
yeah, I was going to add to that.
Yeah, that's
I was interested in
80.
I would think that you have to keep, you would want to keep, respectfully, you want to keep, like, I'm going to name names, dig it. You want to keep Coach 2J here. You want to keep Biscuit here. You want to keep Beck here. Like, the offensive guys.
Agree with all of the above.
You want to keep them. And now, if you want to make sure your culture is about not being used car salesman, you don't want any turnover, then Anai's an older guy that he might be retiring soon. So I don't know if you bring Anai back just because you want to keep that unison. You want to keep that cohesion, the same guys. You don't want guys leaving your first couple of years. You want to keep that core coaching staff. Defensively, that's something that, I think if Dex get the job, will he ask for like Chip to come back? He's at Syracuse. He did a hell of a job. And then you talk about like Chris Beatty. Like he has to bring in that blend of like faces you can identify with in Virginia and also guys who could coach. You want the best of both worlds. So that's what I would be looking for. Like defensively, Dex is a guy that is very familiar with the coaches that are available that can execute his philosophy. Cause Dex is going to be, Dex is going to be the ultimate CEO. A lot of times coaches, man, you have your vision and you let your assistants assist unless you are Nick Saban, a guy that says, yo, I'm still just coach the secondary. If I want to, I'm going to take this defense because I got the sweat equity. But that would be my opinion. And would I love him just to keep the staff that was here? Yeah, my homerism be like, yeah, man, keep everybody that's here. But then another part of me is like, I know guys like Clint Centum that's has UVA ties as coach here, and a guy like Byron Threet that used to coach, and he coached linebackers, but I can't get carried away either, you know. So that's why when it comes to a question like this, it's like I get giddy, but then it's like, oh man, I'm the ultimate homer because I'm gonna say everybody that I heart, not thinking with my brain, because I've never been a head coach, so I'll be setting y'all up for failure.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what offensive philosophy that if Coach Dex is brought on that he would take, or if he would elevate Beck, if he's going to decide to keep some of the current staff.
And I'm pretty sure if I'm pretty sure, not to cut you off, my bad, I'm pretty sure if he is the head coach, he's going to run the football just as much as he passed. Like, he's going to be balanced because he understands the importance of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, not saying that Anai didn't or Bronco didn't, because they had their way. People love numbers until the numbers don't fit their narrative. Like, the offense was super explosive, but we know that if you invested more into the running game, it probably could have helped cover up the deficiencies you had on defense because they weren't on the field, and you can shorten the game up and put more pressure on opponents to have to just be one-dimensional versus balance, which gave you the biggest issue. So, yeah, man, it would be interesting to see what the offensive identity would be. If he's a defensive coach, I would think he'll be a four-down lineman type scheme. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Yeah, I just want to build off some of the expectation things people talked about earlier. Just, I mean, it feels like Dex is, I mean, so I'm happy with Dex. I'm kind of a younger fan. I grew up, like, I knew who Dex was. I wasn't really knowing what football was when I was growing up. I'm definitely, like, considered of who he is and his prestige and his, you know, accolades. But I worry, like, my biggest concern is that, like, maybe he'll be given more of a pass than other coaches would get. Like, say we hire Ellis or Gattis or Huff or someone like that, you know, say they win 5 or 6 games, the fans will come down hard on them saying this wasn't good enough. But if Dex wins 4 games, they say, well, at least it's Dex. You know, he's done so much already. Like, we got to give him a break. And so, that, I mean, that's sort of like, you know, I'm all in. I'm good with Dex. I just, my concern is I just want equal accountability with Dex versus Huff or Gattis or someone, you know, or anyone else, that like Dex doesn't get sort of a pass on, you know, coming in because he's already done. And I'm saying, like, basically he's already done so much for UVA, but we're hiring now as a coach and he's got to sort of come in now and be, you know, evaluated versus the field, not just what he's done already for UVA, because he's already in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. His number's already hired, and we get that. But we're hiring a coach now. We're not hiring our nostalgia. And so that's my biggest concern. That's what are your thoughts on that?
No, I agree with that. The nostalgia lasts about a month. It lasts about a month, you know. Truth be told, everybody wants, like what would you say, the expectations. Like, even, like, I would say this, they'll be patient with Dex to a certain extent. If it's somebody not named Anthony Poindexter's name, the head coach, they're going to get the wrath if we don't do well. Because they're going to always say, you should have hired. Like, it's going to be very unfair, but it's going to happen. If Anthony Poindexter is not the head coach, whoever the new head coach is, see, you should, like, if something go wrong, see, you should have hired Dex. But it could be the other way. If we have a minute.
That's basically what I'm, I mean, like, I'm good with Dex. I'm just saying, like, I hope we can try to hold him accountable. Also, I hope we can try to, like.
Oh,
like,
no, that's, you know, that's going to happen. Because, look, I'm going to tell you
I'm
what.
Saying, like, listen, I'm good with Dex. I'm just saying, let's not give him too much leeway. Let's get on him also.
I'm about to help you.
All head coaches are accountable. I mean, when you start talking about wins and losses, I don't care who you stick in there. You're going to be held accountable if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Ain't no passes at the head coach.
Let me tell you one thing about this fan base. That folks.
He about to go off.
Yeah. I mean, let me tell y'all something about this fan base.
He about to go off.
I'll mute my mic.
No. I ain't going off at you, but he know what I'm about to get at. Because I would never forget this. This is why I know our fan base don't give a damn. When Dex was a special team coach, they talked about him like he was the dumbest special team coach ever. And I got receipts. I got all the message boards. Dex is this, Dex is terrible. So trust me, if we call a timeout that they don't agree with, they going to kill him. Oh, my God. See, I told you weren't ready. See, I told y'all. We just put Virginia, Carla, she got to go. Like, I'm telling you, that's just, that's every fan base, though. That's why, I'll be the person that'll be guilty of protecting Dex. Because they said I protected Howell. They said I protected Bronco. Because I'm not a dude that say fire somebody. That's just not in me. I'm a positive guy. But trust me, you gonna see on this device, this app that we on. Oh, just wait. It's gonna be a troll that's gonna come from under the bridge. He gonna be like, that damn Poindexter, he sucks. I told you guys. You guys will never listen. Like, it's gonna be him.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, they're out there, and I hope Dex succeeds.
Facts.
I agree with you. There's probably enough critics out there that will be okay.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, man.
Shout out to my dog, Justin Anderson, in the chat. Salute to my guy right there. You know what I'm saying? Jackie in the chat. Embrace. Max in the chat. My man, Vic, Scott. Look at Noah. Hey,
goats.
Noah.
Bunch of goats.
I should unmute you, Noah, just so you can say hello.
Bunch of goats.
Yo, man, salute, man. But yeah, man. Anybody else?
We doing this again this week, right?
I ain't entered it just yet. I give you about 20 more minutes, man. I don't wanna make it so pause. So extended that people won't want to listen to the playback. Cause you know, people got short attention spans. I don't do all that cutting it up and taking the hot take from the whole spiel. That just ain't me.
You know
we're
going to have to do one when they
official. Oh, now, if I end this and I get official like a referee whistle, oh, we spinning the block.
Oh, God.
Y'all might not get nothing. Y'all might not get no words in. I'm going to just be playing music the whole time.
I'm gonna be pacing up and down the street screaming real loud. That's all I got.
Hey, man, but salute the caller and administrators for flying out to Vegas to chop it up with my guy, the captain. That says
a
lot.
They didn't even call me. They should have called me.
No, I couldn't go anywhere.
Background.
Yeah.
I had to play the background. I don't even gamble like that.
It feel funny, man. Not even
to Atlantic City.
It feel funny not even talking to him, man. I usually shoot him a line or something, but since Bronco stepped down, his name became a hot commodity. I said, nah. I ain't texting him or nothing. I'm going to let him live because I know his phone staying dead right now, as much as it's ringing and stuff.
Make sure you get him on the live room. Get him the pod.
Oh,
y'all, UNT Cub, as soon as you understand.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ride up on him with a straight video version. Forget the microphone. Mm. I'm going there with the camera.
Yes. Both of y'all pull up on him.
We're gonna do a walkthrough of his. We're gonna do a walkthrough of his first walkthrough. That's what we'll do. Damn it, that's gonna be the walkthrough. It's a first initial walkthrough as a head coach in McHugh Center, or whoever. You know what I'm saying? I don't want folks thinking.
Yeah, no. Even if it's not Poindexter, what I don't want is people to just be so upset and kill the other person before they even get started. Like, regardless, we should be supporting whoever it is with all the energy that derived now to this point. We need to continue to direct it in the right ways possible.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We being talked about now. You talking about it. Mm. We talking about it. We making connections with the people that the connections weren't there.
Ooh.
So now is the time to continue to capitalize on that.
Dang.
And bring yourself back to where you were, and that's where you start from, in my opinion.
Let the church say amen. Look at you. Look at you go.
Yes, sir.
Man, you wrote that down. Well, that was freestyle.
Nah, man.
You wrote that down. You
daughter,
was reading that.
I got my daughter in one hand. Nah, the phone on the
whatever. You was reading that. You wrote that,
I
dog.
Wish.
You wrote that.
That joint was tight, though. I know.
You was a god dang. Oh, man.
Hey,
anybody else want to say anything? If you haven't already, man, I got like 15, 20 minutes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I have a question. So with what's going on in the ACC, there's a lot of brand new quarterbacks and brand new head coaches. And I'm just saying, or I want to get your thoughts. If we make a hire and we're able to keep Brennan and Wicks and Lavelle, with how wide open the ACC is, can we expect to see good results right away?
We smacking everybody. I feel like if Dex is the head coach, nobody got to worry about the transfer portal for real. Like the, the kids that went to the transfer portal doing was what they should do. Like put your name out there, see what the suitor's saying while we in limbo until you know who your head coach is, because you got to get out ahead of it. So that's the business side. So none of them dudes, all them dudes know I got no ill will to them. But to speak to your question with what we have coming back offensively and what we can do through the transfer portal to get more guys on the back end on defense and then continue to help the guys improve that we have. I mean, it's a promising season for this team, but you just got to make sure the core guys stay. And that's why the hire is important, because somebody could be hired that these players just aren't familiar with and don't feel like they're going to be genuine. So that's what you run. And that's every coach. Every coach runs into that. Like every new hire, you'll have some guys leaving and some guys following that coach. Because we said that, but I don't know if you was in here, but whatever coaches name the head coach, you'll probably have guys that he recruited and or was on the team he was coaching follow him, try to follow him. So, you know, that's the beauty of, that's the excitement, man, with change.
Yes, sir.
You could write your own narrative. Yeah.
I know this is an outlier, but just to quash some fears of people, I mean, you saw Mel Tucker at Michigan State. They lost like 27 players
in
the transfer portal, and now they're in the year six bowl. So
the way I feel about it, I quote that Russell with the Westbrook interview. What did he say? He was like, "We're just gonna try and bust everybody's ass. We'll figure out after that." That's all we need to do.
That
we
won't
need to get back to that.
They don't want They don't want the Laker. The Laker results, though.
No, I don't either. It's just go Bulls. Yeah. Triple OG.
Assuming it's Dex, I feel like the portal will be in our favor because he's an in-state guy, so I'm not too worried.
All right. Anybody else want to add their 2 cents? Got new people off. We got new speakers in the building. My man, Big Bro, the White Vic in the building.
Triple OG.
Hey, what's up? Hey, look. You guys know me. I'm a huge Dex fan. I played against him in high school in the VHS All-Star game and also competed against him for 3 years at UVA. One of the best athletes I ever competed against. And I got the credibility to say that. Competed against Ed Reed, Allen Iverson, Torian Gray, and others at safety. He would be a great hire, but I don't know who the caller was. But I just want to – I have the same feeling for our guy, Pry. I think when you bring in, especially Dex being a legend, Pry was there as a GA and went left and did his thing. But he was there for the start of our run. I think it's critical if Dex is a guy, and I know it's only like 250 people on this call, but fans got to understand he's got to do his due diligence and get his staff. It's okay for the staff to be diverse, because the pressure he's going to get is the same thing Pry's getting that check, where you have a guy's campaigning from a player like, hire this guy. And it's not a simple fix, as even with Dre Bly, I love Dre, but Dre's in a great position because he's not the head man, so he can kind of focus on coaching his positions and recruiting. When you're the head man, and I'm just speaking from what I know and seen, it's the radio interviews, it's the commercials, it's the ESPNU and all the different things, the fundraising. There's a lot that goes in. So your staff has to be critical. It can't just be, oh, let me get my guy. When we won that Orange Bowl together, we beat Miami together. It's got to be a staff that can do up the X's and O's. And the nostalgia with Dex that we're having, the same thing with Pry as our coach, is great. But like I told people, he's got to win, not just the recruiting battle, because don't get it twisted. Hawk knows this because we're brothers. We're extremely tight. I'm tight with Elton Brown and all those guys. But not Welsh, but London, he did a great job getting guys there. But he couldn't really create his staff the way he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And in my humble opinion, it affected him on the field. Because he had Andrew Brown, who was a national Gatorade player of the year. He had Quinn Blandon, and he had Smoke Monzel. Those guys were, they all-time great. Quinn Blandon was an All-American 4 years in a row. But when you don't get to get your people, just put it this way. The staff and for the former players on here, whatever sports you play, they know this. The staff is just as important as the locker room because the staff is the brotherhood from the administrative perspective.
Facts.
Those guys in those meeting rooms, when they're talking about, should we suspend this guy or should we just suspend him for a half? You know what? Let me call his mom. I'm going to deal with this. Coach, don't worry about it. I'm going to make sure he gets to class. It's not just about Deck with the visor. You know what I'm saying? That we know him with the toothpick. We know that, Deck, but this is a different situation. So I just caution people. I'm telling my people over on our side the same thing. Everybody wants this to be the golden era. This is a new era. Transfer portal, social media, expectations for both programs are going to be through the roof because of the nostalgia and the excitement. But at the same time, I just caution everybody, if he's the guy, or whoever the guy is, but if it's that, he's got to get his people in there. If that makes sense to everybody.
Absolutely. Got to get his people. He has to have free reign to get the guys that fit his philosophy. It can't be, hey, facts. You're the head coach, and now we're going to pick for you. It should not. No.
Facts.
No. If I'm going to fail, let me fail facts. Doing me. Not because that's what was so unfair about Mike. And that's what caused resentments and second guessing and undermining when somebody's hired that you didn't even want.
Come on now. You preach it, man.
So, yeah, that definitely has to take. If you're going to make me a leader of young men, then I should be able to pick my own staff and guys who have the same vision, know how to communicate just as well as I do. Like Vic said, it's going to make sure that these young men become like on the field is great, bro. But what make coaches great coaches is when they just ask you about your day and how is everything going at home? What's going on with your big mama or your Uncle Buck? And those are the type of things that as a player, we remember the most. Because that's how you're going to get the best out of me because you truly care about me. You're not using me. You care about me. And you talk about Andrew Brown, man. He was done so damn wrong by assistant coach here. That mess. Go listen to the Locker Room Access with Cub and myself. The Lockdown Podcast.
Oh, people
that is
don't
a
know
wild
about
episode.
Hey, please go,
wild
listen, episode. Please go
I
listen.
Please
listen to it.
I know
please listen hand. To it.
Because that had that me teared wild. Up, bro. He had me choked up because that was some off yeah. of anger. That was BS. I'm talking about from day one.
That's disgusting is what it is. 100%.
And that was by an individual who Mike didn't, you know, he had no say-so. You may have a better idea from the outside looking in, but unless you in there, your outside don't give you the true perspective. So that's why, as a you know, a lot of times when I critique coaches, I always say respectfully because I really don't know the ins and outs of what's going on behind closed doors. I can only go off of what I see. So I always got to give you that avenue of I could be wrong. You know what I'm saying? That's why I don't be in here. Matter of fact, well, I know what's going on. Hell no, I don't. I'm not in there. And you not either. So put your damn phone down.
I got a question. What do we think we should be looking for once whoever this is hired, the first things that they should be doing?
Man, just give me some new gear. That's what I'm looking for.
We ain't got to earn that shit.
Hey, dog. No. Whoa, man. Don't do that to Bronco. They taking a shot at Bronco. Chill. That's my guy. I'm Cowboy Hawk. That's, hey, Bronco,
man,
you my guy.
Come because of that.
Bronco, that was not Ball Hawk that said that. We still brothers, man. Ghost Riders. That's me and you, Bronco. I don't know that dude, Bronco. I ain't never met him. I don't know who said that, but I got your back. But if whoever hired, make sure Ball Hawk got a care package of brand new goodies, and we good.
Yeah, I would love to see.
Nah, I'm joking.
Comes in.
I'm joking, man.
Rally all the alum, man. Now you right. Along the lines, you right. I want to see whoever it is come in and pay homage to those who, you know what I'm saying, who made it what it was, that you understand this place and you understand this. You know what I'm saying? You understand what you have to do here at the University of Virginia. You understand the obstacles. You understand the hurdles. And you know what? None of that matters because you laid your blood here. You put it all on the line. You already know the school. You already know what time it is.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be not to cut you off. I think that's the difference of when you hire somebody that was a part of the culture here versus somebody who's never been a part of this culture. the transition going to be different because the person who hasn't been a part of coaching.
Not a Bronco either.
Yeah. No, a person not, that, but to Broncos, I mean? To Broncos credit, for about a first month, he listened because everybody was telling him.
Yeah.
And he received it, he wrote it down, and he blended it, and he did what he had to do. But, and Vic could tell you the difference between when, and there's no shot at his former coach Fuente, and then Pry. It's going to be a difference of how they go about their business because Pride know what that, whatever they call their little pride and stuff. What y'all call your little pride down there in Siberia? I got to get you back from earlier today, dog. I had to get my lick back.
I seen that too.
Hey, but hold on. No, all jokes aside, he's right about that. It's funny because I'm in all these spaces and y'all sound just like us. When we talk about Fuente, the difference is, with all due respect, I never met Bronco, but Bronco seemed like a real one. I can't say that for our former coach. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not taking shots at him, but what y'all are talking about is the golden era, the nostalgia that it means to be a Wahoo, the same thing it means to be a Hokie, the respect of, you know, you alumni, football alumni are going to come back regardless of the winning and losing record. They're going to come back when it's a true family and brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, but that extends way past the field. And that has to be felt. And Hawk is right in regards to, you know, Pride. Pride already has done it already. And that's why you see so many guys talking about, hey, man, guys from Florida and other parts of the state, even guys that coach in the NFL, like, hey, I'm going to make sure I get back to the spring game because it's not because there's just a new energy. It's because Pry understands he was there, and to be fair, him and Dex are extremely tight, and they were at Penn State together. Yeah, so you saw what they did. What all UNC and Penn State did was do what makes sense. They were like, "Yo, UVA and Tech tripping. Let's go down here and take these guys."
They ain't paying no attention. They don't care. They don't care.
Hey, so I got some hop off the Twitter press. Somebody sent me, they said, Tony Elliott is out of the running for a Virginia job. Look, man, I take everything for a grain of salt. I respect anybody that put their name out on hot takes because that ain't your boy. But, you know, if he out, then either there's only one or is a one that we don't know about with the one we know about.
I think it's a one and one. But it's so much. I've never seen so much confusion around a head coach hiring. You know what I'm saying?
I want to ask y'all this question because
this shit crazy.
I want to ask y'all a question because I tell people all the time I'm a Virginia football insider versus a college football insider. I pay attention to our university and ACC schools that we play. When like Oklahoma and the USC's and like did they go through? Like, how long did it take for them to hire their new coach?
They
like
don't
a week,
go
2 weeks?
All of that because they wanted them programmed.
I'm just saying, how long was the process?
I mean, look at Miami's process. You know what I'm saying? They hired a coach while firing a coach at the same time. When you them big schools, you know what I'm saying? And you come calling, I feel like they ain't playing all these games. You know what I'm saying? We got a secret candidate, this and that. No, we want you. They come into your crib. They got the first jet out there smoking, and they got five.
But that's why I asked about. But that's why I specifically asked about Oklahoma, because they coach left.
I think
so
money is a big issue with this when it comes to hiring at these different Power Five programs. I think you got to consider the dollar value and what kind of budget that the school have.
Okay,
if the school is flaky on the budget. Then I mean the pickings are going to be slim. It's going to be hard to get somebody in because you got to negotiate. But when you got money to burn, like Oklahoma, you know what I'm saying? You
can throw out
$7 million on the table and say, "Oh, I want you." And it's easy. It's simple. They get them in fast. Plus, they got money to buy out the contractor, the dude that they're getting rid of. You got to consider all those.
They bought out Manny for like $4.5 million, then bought out Mario, and then offered him like. What, 8 a year?
Hold on.
Years?
Manny had a 4.5 left for 3 years? That was his buyout?
Something like that. It was something like that today. They buying out both them
man,
contracts.
If I was Manny,
slapping
you got
money
to,
on the table.
You got to come see me. You did me dirty. You got to come
for real.
Manny, a good dude, then, bro. Salute to you, Manny, because, you know, hey, salute to Chris Peace that's in the building. He was in the 7-5, my guy.
My dog on the road.
Back. We helping him get back home quicker. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's what he's doing. He listens while he's driving. That boy's smart.
Eat at your people's crib. You know what I'm saying? I know what it'd be like. Get back down them roads. Them roads, you know, take the back roads. You don't need a GPS.
K Palm in the building. Let me get K Palm up in here.
Hey, but I think you're talking about programs that they have that money, and even though Virginia has that money, they choose not to spend it.
It's guarded, yeah.
Right? Yep. They don't choose to spend their money academically. I think the other guy, whoever gets the job, not only has he got to, you know, shake some hands and kiss some babies, but he's got to look at NIL money. Because a lot of these kids now, they don't give a rat's ass of what you got in state, because you know what? Penn State, they get new cars every time you turn around. They go down to Miami, they're getting, you know, money left and right. You got kids going to Ohio State getting $1 million. They don't have that at Virginia. And if you can get that,
we got 15K though from Elliot. Elliot saved you a defensive transfer. Holla at Elliot. That was the start. I didn't mean to cut y'all. Go ahead. Keep going. My bad. I got excited.
You know, but I think that's a big deal now to these kids, right? If we were all in that situation 20, however many years ago, we'd all be like, hell yeah, I'm going to go down there. You're going to give me this little piece of the pot, right?
That's
in
true.
A matter of a heartbeat, we would do that.
That's true.
Because I know that this is not only going to help me, it's going to help my family, it's going to help everybody. And Virginia, even though they got the money, people got the money, but you got to find those people to come out and give it out, whether it's in facilities, whether it's in NIL, right? That's got to be on the top of that. Whoever's the new guy's shortlist, take care of your alumni, figure out NIL, and, you know, let me find the best assistants in the country.
Facts.
With some kind of Virginia tie.
Mm-hmm.
They don't all have to be, but a lot of them should be, because when it all comes down to it, we're all going to say the same thing. You know, we got to beat Tech. We can't have another 17 out of 18 years where they just dominate us.
Hey, don't do that. It's Tech guys. They going to laugh. Don't say that right now.
I know, but let them laugh.
You
know what?
They deserve
my brother's a Hokie. He gives it to my ass.
Yeah, my wife
all
is, too.
No, don't do it, though. We having a great show. They're going to take this one clip and say, see?
Hold on.
Hey, can I offer perspective on that?
No.
Yes, sir.
No, Hulk, I'm not
cool,
man. Shut up.
All right, I'm sorry.
Hey, I'm not – I don't disagree with my guy, but with all due respect, neither Tech or UVA, that should not be it. I'm just trying to tell y'all. I know y'all that follow me, my Hokies and my Wahoos that follow me on Twitter know this.
Why do Hoo fans follow you? I'm trying to figure that out, dog.
Hey, man, this is the state of Virginia.
I'm just messing with, dog. Hey.
That game, I don't want to talk.
Hold on, OG. Hold on. He threw a shot at us today that was surgical. I got to get my licks back,
I've
man.
I've seen that. I've seen it.
It was a clean.
It was not surgical.
Boy, hey.
That was not surgical. I won't even take shots at UVA.
Man, it had double entendres and everything. That was a professional hit you put out on us today, sir.
I can't believe you.
I ain't talking no more. I'm going to make you the host now. Make you the co-host.
I don't take shots.
You co-hosting now. I ain't talking no more. Since all these who's follow you, I'm done. I'm out.
Hey, remember now, growing up, UVA was my school. And my UVA followers love me because I do so much more beyond talk Tech and UVA.
Now you trying to
look.
At the end of the day, let me tell you something. That's the one mistake I hit with both programs. I played during the era when both teams was ranked every time they were playing for so much more, even though we weren't conference affiliates.
Facts.
If beating us or beating y'all is it, we both gonna lose.
Get back to them fruit bowls. That's right.
Yo, it's gotta be. I know about. It's a rivalry. You know what I'm saying? I know it's some people that it don't matter. We can only win one game. I've never said that.
Not me either.
Thank you.
I refuse to.
That is poor.
Piss poor.
That is poor.
And look, let me tell you something, bro. I'm Petty Hall coming out right now. Everybody care about, oh, we got to beat Tech. As soon as Bronco put up a clock to follow through what y'all said, y'all, oh, he's taking it too far. All he doing is thinking about Tech. I'm like, fool, man, you, it was your idea. I'm just telling to the fans it was their idea. He just listened to him. See, that's what I'm trying to say. Don't play both sides. Don't say we got to beat Tech. Then he followed through and say beat Tech. Then he put a clock up, say beat Tech. Now you got a problem because he want to beat Tech.
It's gotta be more than just Tech.
Oh no, you're right. I'm with you. I'm just being petty hawk, just making sure. Hey, brothers and sisters.
Hey, yeah. People tried to treat me like I was crazy all season because I ate hawk. What was the word I was bad? Expect.
Man, if you say it one more time, like, I'm about to mute you, bro.
Somewhere in the last like 20 years, it done dropped. But, like. When I came up, it was all them fruit bowls. We was playing them big schools. They knew what time it was.
Beating Auburn on the road.
Yes, Auburn. All your big schools. Y'all played everybody. And it's several people in here who can vouch for that.
And it won't about Tech.
The bowl game, it won't about Tech, and it won't about the Wasabi Bowl. I'm trying to tell you.
Hey, I played in the Micron PC Bowl, bro. We're going to take them gifts. You the lie. I'm going to take them gifts.
Get all the gifts. And I listened to the John with Joe when he was like, the military bowl got the best gifts.
Ooh,
I bet they do. Tax free.
Hey, they earned it, though, because they got to take it to the woodshed, yes, so sir. The gifts better been good. Respectfully, because I got taken to the woodshed versus Illinois in the Micron PC Bowl. Them gifts was awesome. Anytime the gifts is awesome, you get your ass whipped. I'm just trying to tell you.
But we got to get back to the fruit bowls. You know, them after New Year's bowls. Now is where it is. But that's where we were. And then you can't use. I'm not used to using academics as an excuse. James Ferrier didn't use that.
What? Kenny Pickett is a Heisman finalist.
You know what I mean? Dennis Haley, that wanted an excuse. All of these players that we done had, it was never an excuse. The academics, they couldn't come here or this and that. It was the expectations. And just like you said earlier, if you want to play ball here.
You'll get here.
You want to play for this coach, you're going to get here.
You're going to get here. I don't buy it either. That's why you never hear me say it. I agree with that. That's why you never hear me say it.
Those of y'all that's not talking, y'all should mute your phone and respect the one talking. There's a lot of background noise.
Okay. Hey, so I just want to say Fake Slide is a Heisman finalist. Salute to Kenny Pickett.
That was terrible, too. He put them defenders in a terrible situation.
That joint was clean. Nobody ever thought of that. I was pissed off on him.
And I can't blame him, but at the same time, you look at what position that puts the defender in. If they would have took off, and scorched him, you know what I'm saying? They would have said he was sliding. That would have been an ejection. He'd have been out of the game. But, you know, somebody right. could definitely use that to their advantage. That was a smart play. Ain't nothing wrong. There's nothing in the rule book against that yet. But they damn sure going to take a look at that because, I mean, that was clean. He paused everybody with that jump. He got me. I was like,
yeah, that was clean, bro.
That was different. That was one of them rule changing plays right there, to where now they gonna just completely just give up on the quarterback when they leave that pocket. Is you don't have a choice. You know, once you pass that tackle, you're gonna have to just label the quarterback as a runner, because what you gonna do if he 10, 15 yards in the middle and he fake slides you and then run past your safety and your linebacker who was committing and then eased up and stood up. And now they beat at the point of attack.
Yep.
So, I don't know. That was a tough one. But I'm going to tell you, that was a hell of a play, man. That was a heady play. That was a smart play. That was a web play. That's when you get that upgrade on your awareness on Madden play right there.
Yeah, that was clean, man. So, look, man, we got like 10 more minutes. I'll let you guys who want to talk, go ahead and talk.
Hey, quick question. Just like, let's just say, obviously, Dex gets it. Do you guys foresee a group of players out there, maybe in-state players, that would flip this recruiting class?
Yes, absolutely.
Call them boys at Clemson.
And with Tony Elliott, let's just say he is out of the running, do you think that means that he's going to Duke?
That's a big decision for him. No disrespect to Duke.
I would think so. He deserves his chance. You know, he's been interviewing for like the last 5 years. I don't see what the holdup is.
Yeah.
And we got coordinators out here that got high school resumes. We ain't going to get into all of that.
Yeah. It's all about what you know what I'm saying, what you see in the program, what's coming in the pipes of support, because it's a great situation where he's at in Clemson. Like, you know, and anybody, like, you're a coordinator and schools want you to become the head coach. You got to weigh the pros with the con. But, yeah, man, I would hope that he becomes a head coach at Duke if that's what he's been doing.
I really do. Yeah, I really
definitely do.
Because he got a strong pushback here, and I do not understand that.
What happens if whoever becomes a coach here tell Cutcliffe come be the offensive coordinator?
You said who?
If whoever is the head coach here, go get Cutcliffe as the offensive coordinator.
I don't hate that at all. Because what we need to focus on is, if it is that, we need to not set him up for failure. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what, you know, Carla and them should be working on. You know, building that support system around him, that cast, is what's going to matter. All those other coaches and assistants, what's going to matter. And a man like Cutcliffe, with an extensive resume of him, I would not be mad at that at all.
It's
good. Do you think that sort of undercuts Beck? Like, let's say we try to retain Beck. Does that sort of undercut him as, you know, sort of developing the QBs, which is obviously Cutcliffe's, like, your bread and butter?
You can look at it that way. It just depends on Jason, his mentality.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? If he has a ego and he feels like...
That's to each his own.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good question, though, because, yeah, that could be...
Yes, it is.
That could be something that you have to think about.
That's something for Dex or to whoever to be named is going to have to decide right there, you know. But that's at the same time, that's a question that Jason going to have to answer himself, I feel like, you know.
Jason seemed like a guy that's... I don't want to speak for him. I'm going to shut up.
He seemed like he cool as hell.
I ain't going to speak for him.
He 10 toes down. He seemed like he real quiet.
Oh, yeah, he definitely cool, but I ain't going to speak to
he real quiet.
His football aspiration. That's why I stopped, because I don't want to put something out there in the universe.
But two things on Cutcliffe, I think. One, he'd be a great mentor. Dex is our guy. And number two, you know, you got to look at the recruiting aspect. I mean, he coached both the Manning brothers. Arch Manning's sister goes to UVA. What might have a number one QB recruit come to UVA?
Ain't no way in hell.
Why you shoot that man down that quick? He couldn't even finish, and he said no way.
I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, respectfully. Yeah, exactly.
That's all I can tell you.
I wish for things like that.
Yeah, you can dream.
Facts. You can, bro. I'm with you.
The reality is, more than the coach, the nostalgia, as Vic said, the home shit that you fighting for, right there, that's a completely different fight. You fighting against some big bags over there.
Facts.
And that's some bad. That's bags that we don't have.
Got my man Weeks in the building.
We got to stay in our lane.
Ain't no bags no more. Everything is legal and on the table now.
Yep.
NIL did that.
Talk to him.
That's fact.
Even still, like, when you look at a program like, even still, like UNC in Texas, I feel like their NIL offerings are nothing of what we could offer. Right now, we need to generate something. Somebody needs to figure out something along the line these guys that,
listen,
you know what I mean?
That's fact. And I can 100% verify that, because I do my son's NIL. You know what I'm saying? We could have easily went to Alabama or Ohio State. You know what I'm saying? And we was just thinking NIL. But NIL should not be the main reason why you pick a school. You know what I'm saying? That's a benefit, and everybody ain't going to benefit from it. Everybody's not going to benefit from it. You use it for what it's worth. You know what I'm saying? You get a little deal here. You get a little deal there. You know what I'm saying? It's more than you had before, and you move on. Those who can capitalize off of it, capitalize off of it. But that shouldn't be the main reason why you pick a school. And that's what everybody needs to understand during the recruiting process. You don't pick because you think you're going to get $10 million or $1 million in deals at that program. Come on, man. That's not even the real world.
Yeah, you're right.
What about Danny Rocco?
Danny Rocco, that's a good name, too.
I wouldn't have been mad with a Rocco name. Coming back either.
That's a good name.
I wouldn't have been mad with a Rocco coming back either. That's solidified around here. Pay respect. I take my hat off for that.
Big Ray was in here. I know Big Ray, Coach Lyman and stuff. We got to keep my guy, too, Jize, though. We got to keep too Jize. I mean, I got a couple dollars I could put in to keep Code 2J here. You feel me? Gucci Man, why you keep requesting and backing out, man? I'm about to black your eye. I know you're taller than me.
I'm donating for that.
No, that's the connection for that.
Oh, everybody, Gucci Man in the building, my guy. What up, Gucci Man?
Big dog back again.
What's going on, man? I just be liking to hear what y'all be talking about, man.
he ain't lying,
for real,
either.
Man, it's a lot going on, but.
How you holding up, bro?
Patient.
Yeah.
Stay down, big dog.
I'm doing good, man.
Good.
Hey, Hawk. I got a question, and y'all probably already covered it because I'm late getting in here. But are we pump faking with our recruiting right now?
What you mean pump faking?
With the coaching situation. Like, I just feel like I see recruiting moves being made from other places. What's your take on just recruiting right now and on where we are with this coaching hire?
Yeah, I feel like, so here's my thing. When you look at other situations, like when a coach left or they severed ties, the search went on for about a week. It's just, we super excited and we living in it now. Like, you know, outside looking in, it don't hit you as much, but then when you going through it, the day feel like it's long as hell and it hasn't been a week. I feel like if they don't make an announcement by Wednesday, that's when we got the news. I give you a week to do your due diligence. And if it really is Dex, because I know he was on a recruiting trail and then he up in Vegas now for his Hall of Fame. So I understand that if it's ultimately him, then I understand why it took this long, or even somebody else, because I give you a week to make sure you get it right. But when it comes to recruits, that's the unfortunate thing, man. Like, they in limbo. They committed to, I'm going to be transparent, I committed to George Wells. I didn't commit to UVA.
Right.
People ain't going to want to hear that.
Committed to where?
I didn't, huh?
You committed to where?
George Wells.
Oh, ooh, I thought you said somewhere else.
No, I committed to George Wells University. I didn't commit to UVA.
I understand that.
That's why I came. Pause. Whoa, wait a minute. That's why I enrolled. Whoa, God, dog.
Be nice.
Sheesh. Let me take a, hold on.
Oh, no.
You know what? Hey, Weeks, man, go ahead and talk. I don't want to talk no more, man. I said enough, man. I ain't talking no more.
I said Weeks in there. What's up,
Weeks? Yeah, Weeks want to be a speaker now. He must be on a walk with his dogs. He might be lifting weights with his AirPods in or something. So, yeah, man. What time is it? We got 5 minutes, man. 5 more minutes. I will re-upload this on my as a podcast bonus episode. So it'll be on later tonight. iTunes, Spotify.
I gotta figure out how you do that.
My mixer, so I got a Rodecaster, pro side of the Rodecaster, and you could just record it onto the mixer itself.
Hey, Hawk, I just had a quick question or a statement and question, but I was gonna say piggyback off something you said that.
Okay.
You know, I think this fan base, we really do need to give Dex, you know, time. That's gonna be something that we're really gonna have to do. He's definitely gonna require time.
Thanks.
And you mentioned name that I've kind of been wondering about, and I'm wondering if you think he would be a good fit is, you know, Manny Diaz. He's probably got something against Miami. just kind of wondering, do you think he would be a good fit, and would he work, you know, with Dex?
It depends on like the relationship Dex has with Manny. I think in any coach that he brings on staff, you want the majority, you know, like you would like for them to have some type of working relationship respect level, so I don't know how good he knows Manny. But yeah, that's a great question because that's what you want. I mean, a lot of guys, when they become new head coaches, they already got in mind like who they would reach out to. And so, yeah, I don't know.
I just wasn't sure if he knew if they had a relationship or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I
think he would give us, you know, some ties into Florida as well.
Yeah, he will. He would. He would. I know Al Greasy went right to Georgia Tech as a consultant when we let him go here.
Shout out Ernie Sims, man. Huh? We've been down there. We're coming to see you, big dog.
There's weeks.
AD, what up, yo?
What, there you go. Would you just finish your set?
Yeah, man. I just got off the set, man. So my fault, man. You know, getting that workout in.
Mm-hmm.
No, I was getting my juice game up. I was getting some beats, man.
Okay. Beat juice. Okay.
Yeah, sir. But yeah, man, I'm excited about him, man. And personally, I think
he's been primed and groomed for this. He has the experience. And at the end of the day, man, he believes in orange and blue like we all do. So
facts.
Hopefully, you know, they do their due diligence, man, and we get this thing done.
No, I'm with you. And shout out to Rowan. So he wanted me to give the story about Dex doing a 98 Virginia Tech game. But I wanna wait to get that story. Like, hopefully get hired so I could relive that story and why it's a great hire. I'm gonna say that I ain't gonna tell that story again just yet. That's my ace in the hole of why I could get hype. You know what I mean? Man came in there on crutches. You know what I mean? Said a lot of grown man ball, something you got to deal with. Because when I relive it, remember, I'm reliving it. It ain't me talking. But, yeah, man, I appreciate everybody, man, supporting the spaces, bro. OG, you having the spaces this week that you want to let the people know about?
Yeah, Wednesday, pull up. Wednesday.
Wednesday, what time, you know?
I say 9 o'clock. I got to work all night tomorrow. So.
All right, so Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Make sure y'all give OG Who a follow, man. It's definitely entertaining, informative. Never a dull moment with my guy.
Never
a dull moment. So make sure y'all support him Wednesday at 9. I'm looking forward to that. I'll pop in there, of course. But if some breaking news pop later tonight, you'll see me reappear.
Yeah.
I don't know when the next time I'm going to do a space. I'm going to do a space whenever the news pop. Now, if it happens Wednesday, I'm going to let OG run that. We not doing that. If my guy got a set and the news pop, I'm going to let him do the space. I do a recorded podcast, but I'm going to let my guy run that day because he already called dibs. He got next. He got his five. I got to wait. But salute to everybody, man. Salute to my dog, Coach Glove, the OG, man. Appreciate you taking time out of your day, man. Definitely.
I appreciate you all.
Yes, sir.
Big dog, Haley. Big dog. I'm with you, dog. You know what I'm saying? I'm
man, Haley said he used to dunk on people. Did you hear his episode, Captain?
Hey, look, I heard it. Man. I know he's seen when I was posting the TBTs and threw his pictures out there.
Haley be
That's
lying.
That's what I want back.
Hey yo, shout out to Danny Nickel. Hey Danny, I need a great stat today. Just give me a great stat on something, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Give me a deck stat. He missed zero.
No, he only do Cleveland Browns stats if he gonna go NFL, bro. He ain't giving Dak. Oh, he gonna get Dak a stat. All right, it's gonna be a disrespectful one. Hey yo, Danny, cue the disrespectful Dak stat. Let me get that.
Yeah, it's cue the Jalen Hurts stat.
Well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
he didn't play.
Jalen Hurts that.
He was hurt.
That.
He was hurt.
Yeah, I mean,
he was hurt. That's what we doing? You making fun of hurt people now? Hurt people hurt people.
Nah,
are you hurt? Because you hurt my guy. Huh?
Hey, Hawk. Huh? Hey, Hawk, there's somebody in here that I'm seeing that brought up that made me think of this question before you leave. When whoever gets hired, do we try to flip some of this talent
that's already
committed to another school?
Mm-hmm. Everybody from the state.
Do we not waste time on that?
Nah, you flip.
Everybody.
We are trying to Antoine Womack these people. We're trying to flip.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm trying to flip.
You call everybody from the state. Excuse me? You're going where? Exactly. Let me introduce myself. My name is Anthony Poindexter from the University of Virginia.
Fact.
How you doing, madam?
Well, that's sure. it, man. Nice, that's it for the Ball Hawk Spaces, yo. Appreciate everybody. You know, it's Wahoo Wah. If you are a fan of another university, salute to you and your school, because you were respectful and you respected the place and weren't no trolling. I appreciate that, man. I definitely do. It's a time and a place, because they've been killing us. What's homie name? B-Fish? B-Fish, you's a fool, bruh. You be killing us.
B-Fish
be killing us, man. Salute to him. Dog. He a funny dude, man. I can't do nothing but laugh at him, because it's graceful.
Hey,
I like it.
He got them jumps in the clip waiting.
Yeah. All right, man. Y'all be easy, man. Be great. You know the motto, good is the enemy of great. Be great in everything that you do, man. Never let nobody tell you can't do what you set your mind out to do. Just like when I fumbled on the mic right there, I got it back. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. All right, man. I'll holler at y'all. Peace.
Go Hoos.
Later, homie.
Later, my guy. Appreciate you jumping on, man, in the middle of your sets. I know you was doing dips or something. You don't do no legs.
Yeah, right. I don't put no weight on my back no more.
Hey, man, don't be like that old police officer, that old security guard with the damn defense mechanism videos talking about this. You got the gun pointing right here. This is what you do. Don't be that guy. All right, bro, man. Peace to you, man. Appreciate you. All
right, dog. Later.
All right, peace.
All right, thank
you. Salute everybody, man. Thank you, guys and gals. We out.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.